Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Chris kicked us off last Sunday with the beginning of this little series called An Ordinary Day with Jesus. And he was trying to help us understand that what we're trying to think about, and this continues in our huddles because the discussions will be based on what you hear on Sundays, that we're not thinking about those special days, those special moments when you're prepared for something, when you're ready, like, for example, for me, for a Sunday, right? Preparation for Sunday begins early in the week and works its way up until a Saturday night. We try never to go out anywhere on a Saturday night because it's all about, in my mind, this is the biggest moment of the week, really, right? So there's preparation. This is a special day to me. But what we're thinking about in this course is, but what's a Tuesday like or a Thursday like? Yeah, when you're not doing something special, when you're not set aside some time to do something specifically in ministry or outreach, or it's the night that you prepare for your huddle, or it's the night you're at a prayer meeting somewhere or something. We're thinking about the ordinary days, just the ordinary stuff that would pass us by and that we wander through trying our best to make it all work. And we're kind of thinking, what would it be like if we knew that Jesus was with us in those ordinary days? So can we have our first picture, Daniel, please? So today we're thinking about, that's all right, leave that one up since you put it up. Chris showed his picture with the Archbishop of Canterbury last week, and I thought, well, I have a picture with the Archbishop of Canterbury as well, so I thought I would stick that up. And actually it was the same day that Chris met him, because he went to the dock and then he came around to the larder. Yeah, so we all got to meet him that day. I couldn't find my picture with the previous Archbishop of Canterbury, but I had lunch with him one day as well, which is very special. But then Chris trumped us all by saying that he met the Queen. Well, okay, Daniel. If you look at any of those scenes very carefully, you'll see me in the back of them somewhere. Yeah. Okay. Fake news lives on in Beaver Parish, eh? Right, sorry, let's get to the start of the sermon then. Right, ordinary people. Jesus, Eric read to us there about Jesus telling the people that he was with about loving your neighbor as yourself. And he lived in a world where there was a very heavy weight in their culture of obeying the Old Testament laws. So about when you eat and what you eat and when you walk and what you wear and what your hair's like and what you have on your head and how you dress, how you pray. They had laws for everything. And the holier you proved your holiness and your value to society and to God by obeying all those rules. And therefore, in the New Testament, in Jesus' times, when you hear people being described as sinners and things, it means people who just weren't keeping to all the rules. So they weren't eating the right stuff, or they were seen out enjoying themselves on the Sabbath, or, you know, all sorts of things. And Jesus, in some ways, he challenged the whole culture of the thing when he reduced it all to one thing. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole of the law. We read it at the start of the old version of the communion service that we use on a Sunday morning and a Thursday every week. On these two commandments, it's loving God and loving your neighbor. And when I said he reduced it to that, can I say he didn't reduce it at all? He expanded it. It's much bigger than the rules that they were trying to live by. Loving your neighbor as yourself. So today is about that love and those relationships. And it's the ordinary people. It's the ordinary relationships. So this isn't how you get ready to meet the Queen, or how you get ready to meet the Archbishop of Canterbury, or how you get ready for an appointment with your doctor, or an appointment with your boss, or some of those things where you're preparing yourself and you're polite and you've already worked out how you're going to greet them and all of those sorts of things. This is just about the plain, ordinary, what happens on Tuesday morning when you get into work or when you get home at night. I think Tuesday's the most ordinary day of the week, so I'll keep talking about Tuesday. It's what it's like when you're in Tesco and you see somebody coming down the escalator as you're going up, or I can't do that with my hands, and how you react. It's those sorts of moments. It's the plain, ordinary people, the plain, ordinary relationships, the people Well, we're all in our best behaviour because it's Sunday, aren't we? We're here to worship God, so we're all being nice and smiling at one another. But what it's like when you meet the person sitting in front of you later on in the week down at the gym or in the shop or out in the street or something. Well, let's jump to the second one. So it's about the ordinary people. And there's a verse, 1 Timothy 4:7, says, train yourself to be godly. Now, two things I'd like to say about training. One is that there are lots of things about the Christian life that we think we need to be trained in. For example, Rodney and I have to go to theological college to train to do this, just as you would train for whatever jobs, professions, careers, all those sorts of things that you're in. Why wouldn't you train to do it? Because you want to be better. We also, you can go to any number of training events about prayer or about worship or about how to disciple people, about how to go on mission, about how to do evangelism or anything else. We like to train for all that. There's some training coming up in a few weeks for people involved in children's ministry here in Beaver. Training is all part of what we do because we want to get better at it. We want to be prepared for it and everything else. And in 1 Timothy, Paul, in this letter to this young man that he has appointed to lead the church, he says to him, train yourself to be godly. So, training yourself to be godly with regard to the most important commandment that Jesus gave us about how to love one another. Wonder how you would go about training yourself to learn to love one another. So that's the first thing I'd like to say about training to be godly, is that there's something intentional about it. We mostly kind of think, oh, I just need to try harder. Yeah, I'll just get out there and try to be a bit better. But what about training ourselves to be godly? So what I'm going to do in a wee moment is give you a training schedule that we can practice. And certainly in the huddles this week, you can talk about it together, have a chat and a conversation about how we could train ourselves to be more godly in relation to our relationships. But the other thing is, oh, do you recognize Mr. Miyagi there? Yeah. From Karate Kid. There's something about the training that he did for all of that that was a wee bit distant and remote, whereas I think in contrast to that, the training we want to do is needs to be earthed in real life and reality and with all the things that are around us and all the people that are around us. So second thing I'd want to say about training ourselves is that training isn't the end, it's only the means. How many of you at some point in your life had music lessons to play an instrument of some sort? Wow, look at that. Well, the orchestra will be packed then next Sunday night. Okay. How many of you are still playing that? Oh. You sign up straight afterwards for next 6 o'clock next Sunday night. I learned to play the piano way back. I got to grade 6, if that means anything to anybody. But what I most disliked about learning to play the piano was I never got to play the kind of music that I wanted to play. Right? We always had playing, I'm guessing, Mozart and Beethoven and things like that, because we were always getting ready for exams, seemed to be what it was all about. And the other thing that I disliked most about it was that my sister was 2 years behind me, but was so much better than I was ever going to be. So when she thought I wasn't listening, she played all my pieces that were 2 years ahead of her, but she just picked them up and played them, and they were beautiful. It's all coming to the surface standing in front of you here. I hated both the music and her. Oh, how we need to train ourselves to be godly in those moments. Fortunately, she's gone on and continued with it. But here's the thing, and Jeffrey is one of these. I hope you don't mind me embarrassing you here, Jeffrey. You see what you learn in the training, in the lessons? The musicians go way past that, right? You learn the techniques and the skills, so that you can take the music that's written on that page and turn it into something beautiful. And you get to the point where you're no longer, and I think Jeffrey hardly ever looks at a piece of music, do you? No. Or you pretend to look at it, but you don't play what's on it. I have described Geoffrey to people around the province, okay, the music in Beaver, as the only person I know who touches every one of those keys on the piano in every song. It's fabulous. And we're not complaining at all, Geoffrey. In fact, we're mesmerized by the quality and the beauty of it, and the other musicians as well, that you get to the point where you're no longer just concentrated on the technique of the thing, but you're starting to do something with it. It's like when you're learning to drive a car. All you want to do is go and pick up your friends and go out for the night. But somebody forces you to sit in this thing and put on your seatbelt and adjust your mirror and fix the mirrors and look over your shoulder and put it into gear, and you've no idea why when you let your left foot out, the whole thing just stops. Because at the beginning, it's all technique and everything, and all you really wanted to do was go somewhere that your parents didn't have to take you. Is the main aim in life is to get out and be free. And yet a time comes when, if you've done enough of the practice and the training, you start to drive. You start to take people places. You start to plan your route. You start to see things at the side of the road again. You start to see the trees and the fields and everything else. Because the training takes you there. That's what we want to be doing with this relationships thing. Is we want to be trained by God. So that in actual fact, we start to live the ordinary days and the ordinary encounters with people. The frustrations of sitting in the traffic jam, the frustrations when things in work aren't going right, the irritating people that we live with, all those things, that something of the life of Christ starts to predominate in us. That's how we begin to react to people and the things around us. So here's the training schedule. Three things that were told in the New Testament. In James 1:19, we're told to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, when you're thinking about relationships with people, this and these are at the heart of it all, aren't they? How we speak to one another. And I think even more importantly, how we listen to one another. Because how many of us, and we'll not get you to put your hands up because I bet you it's all of us, how many of us mostly listen to people and halfway through their sentence we're starting to form our response? Starting to think what I want to say back. And very often it's to correct them or to give another opinion on it because you don't agree with their opinion, or it's to take the story off some other direction because you're sick listening to this, okay, and you want it to go somewhere else. And therefore, we're not actually listening at all. We're just reacting to one another and trying to shift it and move it and take it where we'd like it to go. Or as very often happens, you know, when somebody tells you, oh, I've had a wee bit of a cold this week, and you think, oh, that's nothing. You should have seen the cold I had the week before. And then somebody will say, that's nothing. I have the flu. And on it goes. Because the inbuilt default position in us is to try to bring things to me. Life's all about me. Whereas listening is all about loving the other person. So could you imagine, I'm going to throw this out as a wee test. You see, when we're having our coffee afterwards and somebody's telling you a really dull story about what they did this week or whatever, when you get to the end of it, instead of trying to change the subject, ask them a question about it. Yeah? Well, wouldn't that be quite a challenge? It's actually listen to it hard enough to say, and what happened then? Or would you explain that a bit more? Right? And then if you can hit the button on your phone, it'll ring and you can get up and run out. But, sorry, saying all the wrong things there. But you know what I mean? Actually listening to the people around us and the person. And, you know, that annoying person in work. Or the person who always seems to want your attention. What would it like to actually listen rather than think, how can I get away? Listening. Second thing, Matthew 26:6-13. The power of touch in terms of relationships with one another. And that can actually mean physical touch. So shaking hands with each other. Lots of people are very comfortable with hugging each other. I think in terms of relationships, it's always good to make sure that the person you want to hug is somebody who likes to be hugged and all of that sort of thing, okay? Can I just say everybody on the top steps here doesn't like to be hugged? Would that be? Or do you like a hug? Oh, Kate. Okay. Rodney loves a hug. Rodney loves a hug, and I'm a bit nervous. So you want to hug a clergy person? We have one. Okay. Right. I don't mind a wee patty hug. Yeah. Right. Okay. But the power of touch, the hand on the shoulder, as you walk past someone at work and say, good job today, or thanks for bringing that. Yeah, the handshake that says, lovely to see you. But more than just the physical touch, what about the power of touching someone's life by a helping hand, by reaching out to help them up, to bring them forwards, to help them get through that thing that's difficult. The story, so as mentioned there, 26:6-13 in Matthew, it's actually a story where Jesus is anointed by what the people in the room described as a sinful woman. And it was because she wasn't keeping all the rules. And one of the rules was not anointing the hair of this man and touching him. She was breaking all sorts of cultural things that shouldn't be broken there. But she didn't care. She wanted to express love to Jesus. And there's an incredibly important thing for us to learn as well, that Jesus defended her right to reach out to love him. And I think that's something we need to be trained in, is how can we let other people help us? Because mostly we want to be the ones helping. And it's much more difficult when somebody brings you the food, says, I made a meal for you. And suddenly you think, ah, oh, what have I got to give back? I need to reply somehow. I need to, oh, now I owe them something. How about just let them love us? Just be free like Jesus to say, thank you. I want to thank this woman for the beautiful thing that she's done for me. How about trying to get rid of the words, oh, you shouldn't have, and replace them with, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, and just accept when someone wants to bring love or share something with us, when someone brings something to us, whether it's words or a thank you or a gift or sends you a Christmas card. I mean, I'm sure there must be some of us who still do this, that you panic when a Christmas card comes in from somebody and you don't have their address. And you think, how am I going to get one back to them in the next 48 hours? How about just receiving it? And the next time you see them, say, thanks for that card, I appreciated that. Without thinking that we've got to repay everything. That sense of wanting to give, and of also being able to receive, that touching each other's lives. And again, in those ordinary moments, with those ordinary people. And the last, we think, is the power of our words. That was just three wee pictures. I've got speaking words that build up the wee person with the Bible. Joyce Meyer, a person who writes books, speaks. Speaking negatively could hurt you, but speaking positively never will. That's quite a thought, isn't it? The power of words, speaking life and spreading light. And the writer to the Hebrews wrote in chapter 10, verse 24, let us encourage one another. Using words with one another that build up. Using words that draw the good out. Using words that strengthen. Using words that make someone feel it's worth being here. Making someone feel the appreciation for what they're trying to do in work, even if it's not going so well. All those things that we can do with our words. And even sometimes, even though we don't use negative words at times, sometimes we withhold them and don't say them, don't say the good things. We're embarrassed, maybe. And somebody's life is slightly bereft of something good that could have been put in there. And that's going to take a wee bit of training for us. We almost need to, so fire back through those. Quick to listen. So I've realized what I do here doesn't change what happens there. Has he been changing the pictures?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Right. The power of touch. Reaching out to one another, whether it's actually to touch or whether it's to help or do something or give something. And the power of words, of thinking about
what words could I use today?
That would be good. As you're walking across the car park on the way into work, what could I say to someone today? One last wee picture. So let's set off down the journey of loving one another. Just the ordinary things. I'm guessing that, in my mind, that looks like big sister, wee brother, wee sister, something like that. Of just that wee arm around that says, look how long this road is. It doesn't even look particularly exciting. But sure, let's get along it. And let's learn to love. And that's not saying we don't love, but we need to go on learning more and more how to love in these ordinary places with ordinary people.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.